You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
That's not how it's supposed to be.
Is somebody going to make the O noise? Because I will not pick up that torch.
Ready? Here we go. Bam. Oh.
Oh. In memory of you, Jason J. Carter. We're glad to be in the house tonight for Grey's Anatomy After Show. Bing is for doing. I'm Julie Parton.
Ooh. Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
I'm your girl, Star Session, over here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. And my girl over here to the right.
Hi, I'm Kelly.
That's Kelly.
We're unfortunately missing Mr. Jason J. Carter, and every time he's gone, you guys let us know in the comments section. It's just not the same without him.
We know.
We get it. He's traveling, okay?
Yeah, he's in New Orleans. Bourbon Street is where he called me from earlier.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, well, feisty. I like it.
Well, you East Coasters were jumping on the gun with us earlier, saying this is a good episode. It has some fun editing, and I would agree.
Yeah, and I liked how it was like quick paced and like kind of snippety snappity. Is that a word? I don't think so.
You know what?
We're starting off strong today.
Snippety snappity, stabbity in the backity.
I like it. I like it. Oh my gosh, it was a good episode. What'd you think, Kelly?
I liked it. It was okay. I mean, I liked that the way we were following puzzle pieces. The red cup. The red cup seems to be the key character of tonight's episode.
It really was.
Yeah, it went through almost everyone's hand almost.
That's true. I was thinking the red cup was going to be strep throat, right?
I was kind of hoping there was more to it. Like, yeah. The red cup was transmitting some sort of disease they were all going to have by the end of the episode.
Nope. It was just a puzzle piece.
What's that movie with the little girl in the red coat?
I don't know.
Red Riding Hood?
No. The super famous one.
It's Little Red Riding Hood.
It's about World War
II. Missed it.
Well, no, it's super famous. We'll get back to it. You guys at home know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
But either way, something odd about this one was that it was narrated by Derek.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember tons of them being narrated by Derek.
No, I like when there's like a different narrator and it's not
really?
Always Meredith. It just kind of helps you bring in a new perspective. And we've been wanting Derek to like get in the forefront anyway. So it's like, here's Derek's turn.
And you know, one thing I noticed in this episode, he's starting to look a little bit more... Like, he's starting to look old. Like,
good
he
for
looked
him.
Older tonight. And he's because he got a haircut.
Yeah.
And the shorter hair. He's starting to kind of look like growing into, like, he's, you know,
he's
aged
a little,
a little bit.
Yeah.
And like he's still, like, sexy. I still think he's super hot, but he's just, like, starting to look a little older.
Yeah. He's giving you that old professional, I'm going to take some time off. I've already hit my peak, you know, kind of a way.
Salt and pepper distinguished.
Yeah.
That's
like,
so
old in
sexy.
A bad way, so don't misunderstand. It's just, like, I finally started to notice kind of, like, his age. And they're, you know, a little bit more than I have, you know,
That's true, there is an age difference
well,
between him and
Meredith. Well, 10 years later.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's because he was narrating or what, but this seemed like a calm episode to me.
It was a bit. I feel like there was stuff happening, but it wasn't that, like, moment, but it was still stuff happening, you know?
Right.
Like, we learned a lot about patience and different relationships this episode, so I really think it was a good episode. I just can't wait to dive into it.
Well, do you guys want to talk about patience first or relationships first?
Let's talk about patience. We start off with... maps and human brains, and then we start off with that one patient with the human brain, and his brain is like a map, and they were making him do a cowabunga and like different fun stuff like rock on.
It was like whatever he was thinking about, they could show up on the screen, his hands doing.
Yeah.
So like cowabunga or waving or whatever, and this guy who had been a quadriplegic, that was amazing to him.
Yeah, I think so too.
It was Mickey, and I mean, come to find out a little bit later, Mickey had been the drunk driver in a crash that killed two teenagers. So he spent 9 years of his life hating himself, hating everybody, wishing that he had died in the car accident. And then finally he was given a chance to help people through this research project.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to it, like, it is a sad story that he went through that, but it is great that he definitely wanted to donate his brain to research, you know, like that is something that's like upstanding and like you always feel bad in the end. And that's what the other intern is feeling about the other intern that passed. But we'll get to that in just a bit. But yeah, I think it was his moment to say like, hey, it's not about me anymore. I just want to, like, give back and try. I want to try, and then if I don't, then my brain can still continue on.
So. I mean, I get it. If he needs some sort of restoration in his life, so anything that he could latch on to. And what's crazy about that is that Callie is the one that spearheaded this entire study. And then she was ready to just bail on it. And then at a certain point in time, once it got, the waters got a little risky and Derek was getting very busy with it, he wanted to bail on it too.
Yeah, I mean, Callie's been going through a lot this season. So it makes sense that Callie's like, you know what, if it makes me think about Arizona, I don't want to do it. You know how when you have a breakup, like a song comes on or a tune comes on or anything will remind you of it. Like being in a project that wanted, that, you know, Arizona, like what is the word?
Spearheaded.
I said foreheaded. Spearheaded. You know, like it just makes sense that she wants to step about.
Well, she was the inspiration behind it. She didn't really have anything to do with it. Callie started doing it because of Arizona and what happened with her. So the whole point was like sensors and figuring out what kind of things in your brain, you know, can cause, because he couldn't move at all. But that's with his brain, they were trying to figure things out. So they put these sensors in his head, and in the midst of that, they found this tumor that was inoperable, or at least Derek thought so. And they finally get Callie back into it when she has that conversation with him where he explains the reasons behind it. And she's finally able to put her personal feelings aside and kind of look at the bigger picture versus like what was just right in front of her.
Well, I feel like Derek is like the super doctor that, you know, he doesn't really get personal. I mean, I remember a few episodes where he's like, keep your personal business out. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, we got to see a personal side of Derek where he like stepped up and was like, Callie, you're chickening out.
You're bailing this for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And somebody's life is at stake.
He's doing what Yang did to Meredith last episode. He's like kind of bullying her in a way, like, pull it together. Like, get your stuff together.
Or just admit it.
Yeah.
Don't like slink away. Like, you don't want to talk to him. You don't want to explain to him because you don't want to look him in the face and tell him why you're, you know, bailing.
And exactly. I mean, in the morning when the patient was there and he was doing all these cowabunga things, he was like, where's Callie? You know?
I can't believe she's missing. This is the best part.
And all he got was a text of, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah.
Like, not even an explanation or anything.
Well, what was funny is whenever there was the inoperable brain tumor, Mickey took the power back into his own hands.
Mm. Oh, I love that.
I know, right? That was cool because it was like this quadriplegic guy, can't really do anything, probably hasn't been able to make a power decision or a power play like that for a long time. He's all of a sudden like, you don't get your little test node stickies back.
Yeah, because you have to have consent for that. But my main question was like, if his brain, as he passed away on the table, if his brain isn't having any brain activity, how does that really work with donating the brain to science? I'm sure we have a ton of smart fans out there, and I'm sure they're going to fill up our YouTube feed, which we love. We love your opinions and everything. But that's an interesting part that I would love to research and just see like how his brain is still going to work even though his brain has no activity, right?
Being a layman, I can only speculate that he probably couldn't donate his brain. Don't know if you can even do that really, but they could still use it for science.
Well, there were still parts of it that worked because when they were doing the sensors, there was one part that wasn't lighting up and that's where the tumor was. So I'm thinking like they're, you know, like it's split in two, you know, hemispheres, that maybe there's one side that they are still able to kind of, you know, look into and do tests on and, you know, maybe do research projects with. Who knows?
And at the very least, they could let some medical students slice it open.
Yeah.
You know.
And see what's going on.
Check out. Yeah.
Definitely practice with that for sure.
But yeah, like Star mentioned, this guy unfortunately did pass on the table, but it was not sad. Like, we were sad because he was a likable character, but that's what he wanted. He's like, I want to either help people with my existing life or die trying.
Exactly.
He was just really trying to make up for the bad mistake of, and, you know, the unfortunate accident that happened because, you know, he was driving drunk.
Exactly. I can't even imagine it. I don't even know why he wasn't in prison or whatever.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other patient tonight, and here's something really interesting about it. This guy comes in with a broken ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out he got it at the airport being reckless. They were going to see the Northern Lights or something like that. And dun, 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 he also has an inoperable, I think it was a heart tumor, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was inspired by a real patient story
Nice.
And the Riders of Grays read about it, and so they contacted the people who had done this. It wasn't even that long ago. It was very recent. And they said this is one of the coolest cases we've had in the entire 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so they were very excited to write this and make it a part of the television show.
Well, nice. The intern was stealing ideas. This is like the theme. The interns just steal ideas after ideas from episode to episode. So he stole the idea from Derek about the glue, and he just kind of made that connection, another puzzle piece about this episode is about being in maps and puzzle pieces. So that was really fun. But he brought it to Yang and he was like, Yang, could this work? And Yang, being the mastermind she is like, possibly. Let's try it out. Why not? You know? So I really enjoyed that they got to have their moment together and just kind of test it out, because Yang was like, what else is in that brain? And I'm like, Yang, that used to be you. You know?
You know what? Another thing about it is that this patient, I just realized this correlation, didn't care if he died either.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't have any patients in this episode clinging to life. Mm-mm. The third patient, Richard, was just there in that frame of mind last week.
Yeah. Actually, this patient actually would have been happier had he died.
Yeah.
Because they got themselves in a little bit of financial trouble.
That was hilarious.
Trying to seize the day.
So they go, they deliver this terrible news to him. He's like, oh,
like,
yeah.
Years ago.
Been dying of that for a couple of years.
I love that. Yeah. This character really just like, when you're... People just don't take it as well as they should. That's horrible to say. When you're terminal, it's hard. There's many ways that you can take it, is what I mean. And he just took it as like balls to the walls. Let's just do this. We've got to live life to the fullest, which is how life should be lived. And let's just max out our credit cards, which was a little irresponsible, but kind of smart at the same way.
Well, like, they had a backup plan. He was going to die and they were going to use his life insurance plan to pay himself back.
Well, and they had tried all these other things.
That's
not
true.
Like they just came back once and he was like, okay, screw it. Let's seize the day. They had tried all these different solutions and nothing worked. So, you know, hey, that's it. What are you going to do?
Kelly, would you max out your
heck yeah.
That's smart.
That's
right. That's right, girlfriend.
Exactly.
Bam.
I'm not going to take the bills with me.
I've had a terminal plan for a long time.
Oh.
I'm going to take a sexy photo shoot.
Oh.
And then from that day forward until my inevitable death, I'm going to eat everything I want every second of the day.
Nice. You should take that photo shoot now and release those photos later, because your body's like in the prime. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, unfortunately not now. But seriously though, like pastries, Krispy Kreme, all day. Every day.
But I like what they did. They went and saw and did everything they went. They went to India. They went everywhere. It's amazing. I would have totally done the same thing.
They were in the weightless airplane and they did it 50 times.
$5,000 a pop. They went up 11 times.
Yeah, something
that
like that.
That's so funny.
I loved it.
They burned something just to watch it. They blew something up just to watch it burn. I mean, like,
I think it was their yacht.
In living life. I'm totally down with that.
I'm sure they regret burning that.
Yeah, they were going to pay it off with a life insurance.
Well, that's true. I mean, they had a plan, but this character's story was hilarious.
This is so funny. And so they were saying, well, how risky is it? Could I die on the table? Yes. Oh, there's a chance. They were so relieved.
Oh, my gosh.
Then they found out he was going to live, and they were crying.
Yeah, I'd be crying, too. I'd be like, oh, my
not
God.
Not happy cries. They were
the
stressed
wife,
cries of stress.
She just kept trying to stress, like, it's at least we're together.
No, but
hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, but they're together.
I know. I like this character story. I wish they would stay around longer.
That was cute. I did.
Yeah, they were super fun.
So, Shane, this episode... That guy's just, like, getting meaner and meaner.
Shane, as I said last week, has still not dealt with the fact that old girl left. I forgot her name already because I didn't really love her character.
Mousy.
Oh, that Heather died.
That Heather. Thank you. He hasn't talked about it. He hasn't shared that he, like, kind of sent her down there to get electrocuted. Like,
sent her to her death.
Yes. And so it's it's weighing on his heart. So especially with when the new lab coats came in with their name on it.
Now, do you think he blames Derek now?
I think he blames himself, because Derek...
Well, I'm thinking he blames Derek, and that's why he's so angry. Like, he's misdirecting that guilt, and he's blaming it on Derek, because Derek is the one that made him competitive like that with
exactly.
her.
Exactly. I like
because
that connection.
Because Derek, thought she had, was a little bit more special. And he even says, oh, what, now that she's gone, I'm the consolation prize? I get to do this now?
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that point, I feel like that storyline's going to continue on, mm-hmm. especially the fact when he was like, don't you get it? I do not want to work with you. Like, I don't want to work with you. And I was like, wow, he's really turning in a douchebag. But that's the moment when I felt that mm-hmm. he was, yes, putting a little bit of blame onto Derek.
Like, if you would have never made me compete with her in that way, I would have never been that evil to send her down there. But you're making me do it. When, you know, it was his choice. He didn't have to be a douche, and he was.
That character, more than any, I mean, at least any of the other interns, he came in bright, shiny, so enthusiastic, eager to help. Mm-hmm. And he's just been, like, getting more evil and darky-eyed. Like, he looks... He's mean to everyone now. Mm-hmm. Kissing girls, forgetting about it, stealing things.
I know. I can't believe he kissed her. And she was like, are you taking my patient away from me because of the kiss? And he's like, are you still hung up on that?
He's like, I'm sorry, it meant more to you.
I kind of like that, though.
Yeah.
Because then she's oh, he kissed me. That's why he's so upset. And now calm down.
Put her in her place. Back to Mr. Avery. Where was Avery this episode?
Oh.
M.I.A.
Right? How did I not even notice
those
that?
Beautiful eyes? You didn't
How did I not
notice
miss my Avery?
The baby's not here yet.
He was, you know, spending time with his wife.
Okay.
I was like, what did I forget? No, Avery had a baby in real life. His wife.
No, she's
did.
Pregnant, right?
I think she's
pregnant.
Yeah,
she's pregnant. Yeah.
Potato, potato. Wives need a lot of attention when they're pregnant.
Yeah, that's true. What I'm saying. He's spending time with his wife.
But speaking of people that can't get over kisses, Leah. I did not actually know that they had kissed until the very beginning of this episode when she's talking to the other intern.
Well, I love how nobody's paying attention to her.
That was the funniest part
Nobody
of this whole episode.
Nobody asks her. Nobody's caring.
She's like giving up all this information. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, and so I kissed
don't
a person.
Ask me.
Yeah, don't ask me. That's the main question of like, go ahead and ask me. I want to tell you. I want to tell you.
I can't tell you who it is. It's going to cause so many problems. So please just don't even ask.
She was so much of a teenager this episode. Yeah. You know
literally
what I mean?
Walking away from her. She's like, no, stop bothering me. I'm not going to tell.
You know, she, like, put makeup on. She looked a little, you know, she fixed herself up a little more in this episode than we've seen her.
But it was a little fast. I mean, we kind of want this to happen, but, like, they were hanging out. And
do want this to happen?
A little bit.
Ooh.
It's spicy. Why not? Spicy is the storyline.
It's interesting. Oh, I don't know.
I don't really, like... I did like when she's like, somebody said, oh, so you're gay now or something like that. And she's like,
It's a sliding scale.
It's a sliding scale and I'm just in love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love how Arizona definitely caught in on that because she was in surgery with Karev. Mm-hmm. And Karev keeps it real, especially because he already slept with her. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't saying the name either in the surgery. She was just saying, like, I kissed someone hypothetically. What would you do if they're coming on too strong? You know, and the fact that he brought her up, like, she came on too strong. She thought it was more than it should have been. Mm-hmm. Like, poor girl, like, no one is, like, into her. But that's okay.
She just gotta slow down.
That is what
happens.
What
did he say? You go from zero to in love in 5 seconds?
Yeah.
It's like, you take a breath, slow it down.
Seriously, you come on too strong. It doesn't last at all.
But no. I felt bad for her when she finally was like, yeah, this does happen a lot. It's me. It's something I'm working on. Like, mm-hmm. or not working on at all. I'm not really sure. But you know what I mean? Like,
and with these intern stories, and I know, like, with a lot of comments and stuff, like, people are going back and forth. They're not developing these stories well enough. So you can't really root for these interns. And we don't really like any of their stories because we don't really know them all that well. Like, even Joe, this whole episode was bothering me to pieces. And I don't know why. Like, every time she was on screen, it just bugged me. And there's really no reason.
You're right. No, they're bringing them in. Mm-hmm. There's the plot. And then there's the intern, like, being an annoying little fly around mm-hmm. the plot. And you're like, ew.
Well, and I started watching, like, rewatching the very beginning, like, a lot of ago when I was kind of, like, homesick. And I watched, like, the whole first season. I'm in the middle of the second season, you know, and everything was good. And all this, like, the patient stories were more drawn out. And it was just done so differently. And now it's, like, it's choppier. Things are kind of, like, coming and going really fast. And maybe it's just because there's too many characters.
There's too many characters, you know. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to, like, a first season of a show, like, we really get to have the character development. And we get to know the backstory.
There was so much that happened and there was only, what, like, 9 episodes in the first season?
Yeah.
And so much happened. I've forgotten how much happened.
Oh, I
got
to go back
season.
And watch. We all got to go back and
no,
watch.
No, it's so great. I'm loving it right
it
now.
It is crazy to think about how many people are on this show.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why. But I think it's just so cut down the middle that with all these interns, I just really don't like any of them. I can't get behind any of them because I'm just getting flashes. And there's nothing for me to want to hold on to with any of them right now.
For some reason, Shane stole my heart in the beginning when he cried at the patient. And then he's not since then. That part of that character is gone. And then Joe, I guess I still like. I mean,
well, Joe is really feisty in this episode. Like, she wants to know what's going on, as well as she's like learning from Weber and like trying to figure all this out. She has a lot on her plate. You know, her boyfriend's not really communicating with her, and then she has to work on her doctor, who's her teacher. You know, like, I feel like she has a lot going on. So no wonder this episode she was just like feisty, and like when she came in, she was all over the place. You know what I mean? So,
but in the last episode, though, it was more like whiny than it was talking. And I think that's what bothers me, is because I feel, and even like rewatching the episodes before, I don't feel like they were as acted like such little kids when the series first started, the way that these interns, I feel, act like little kids. Like, just really, like, whiny, and, like, things coming about when they're complaining about stuff. Well, like, the whiniest one from the beginning was George. And he wasn't really,
going to say George. Yeah. I knew it.
Yeah, and he was, like, he was just awkward. Not necessarily whiny, but just, like, really socially awkward. So it made it seem whiny.
I thought Izzy was a little whiny. She's like, stop making fun of my model years.
But not. I don't know. It's just like, it's very different, and I can see that they're trying to make Joe be like kind of like the new Izzy, and like how they're like lining that and that comparison. And maybe that's why right now it bothers me, because I'm just watching her, and then
yeah,
I can compare the two characters. But I don't know. It's just, I want to see them like be a little bit more like, just a tad more, like, not so whiny. If you want, like, have a real conversation. You want to talk to Alex about his dad? Stop yelling and you know, and acting like a little girl about it, but have a real conversation with him.
It really, like, was sort of a, you think I'm pregnant.
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, calm down. Let's have a real conversation. Nobody's going to want to talk to you when you're talking at them.
Well, that's true. I mean, and then when people are going through things, like, they don't, they'll tell you in their own time.
Right.
Even in a relationship. You know, I mean, yes, it's skeptical, like, where have you been these last four nights in a row? Mm-hmm. But it's like, he's clearly going through something, and like, let it pass for the weekend when you have a day off, and then you guys can really chit-chat about it. No? Mm-hmm.
No,
you know?
Absolutely.
It's just kind of, it was a little ridiculous if I'm giving relationship advice tonight. Just let it cool off sometimes.
Yeah, I guess if we could learn the moral of the story from this Grey's episode, it's don't be really attached in the beginning of a relationship.
Well, just take a breath.
Just take one big breath.
Patience is a virtue.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Karev, you called it right at the beginning. Like, where has Karev been? And we knew that the Karev daddy story was going to continue on from week after week. And you nailed it when we were viewing the episode, that he's been seeing his dad.
Yeah.
Totally. But you didn't know how he was seeing his dad, which was pretty cool that he was at a bar drinking and kind of spying on him performing.
He was just watching his dad perform. And we saw, which we so rarely see, a little Karev smirk.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very proud of his dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a moment.
It was sad.
A moment.
God, this storyline makes me so heartbroken for some reason.
Well, first of all, the dad isn't realizing that Karev is his son.
Like, how is that possible?
Or is this a twist that maybe he isn't the dad and there was something wrong in the results?
No way.
Well, I was thinking that too, but then, you know, when Alex like throws a picture at him and he's like, this is what you do, he just went and started another family.
Mm-hmm.
He got kicked out of his and went and started another one.
Yep.
So you guys saw it. He watched his dad play. They ended up having a jam sesh together. And it was like pretty beautiful for a moment there. And then the dad told a story about
a child,
Alex, right?
But I believe it was about it was
Alex
his
was
child.
Allergic to strawberries, though.
Is it? Is that
one of the interns, and I think it was Alex, almost died early on from strawberries.
No, it's not in the first season and in this half of the second season. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, this is going back 7 years or so. But I'm pretty sure Alex is allergic to strawberries, and that story was about him.
Yeah. I mean, you guys tune in. Definitely call us and rate us on iTunes and stuff like that. We love you, that you are on YouTube and giving us all of your feedback, and we want to do some shout-outs to our fans as well. But was he allergic to strawberries, or was this another
child? If somebody's tweeting
child?
Us right now, and if you're not tweeting us, you need to get in on this, because it's a really fun conversation we have throughout the entire week. Okay. If somebody's tweeting us, either way, I think he was talking about Alex, and it seemed like he was really regretting leaving his son behind. So they have this jam session. Alex's dad has this moment. I really wish I hadn't bailed on my son. It seemed touching. He showed Alex a picture of a 12-year-old kid, not even Alex, like 20, 30 years younger than Alex.
That's crazy.
That was so sad.
Yeah. I mean, What did Karev, exactly, he didn't want to go back in the past because he hurt him so many times. And that's what he said to Joe. Like, you kind of made me want to know what's going on with my father, because he is in town right now and he is playing at the local bar and he was at our hospital. So it makes sense that he wanted to build up the courage. It took him four nights and he didn't even build up the courage. The dad came over and was like, what have you been doing here these last four nights? You know
and
what I mean?
Recognized him from the hospital.
Yeah, which was, I thought he was like, when he said, oh, I recognize you. And I was like, there it is. That's our connection, but we're still not there yet.
But whenever Alex punched the dad, it seemed like there might have been a moment there where he realized.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was their last moment. Again, it was just like it came full circle. Because when he left him the first time, he like beat the crap out of him when he was, what, 15 and then left.
And he said to Joe when he was yelling at her, like, you talked me into this. I didn't know I could feel this crappy 18 years later.
Mm-hmm. Bam.
That was so sad. I mean, I get it, Joe. Anxious, would love to have any sort of family connection.
Well, it's like people that, you know, you don't know a situation until you know. You don't know until you know. And giving someone pushing someone to do something like that or giving advice on something that sensitive is never a smart thing to do because you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you never really know how someone feels. You can only empathize. You can't really,
you can only empathize.
That's all you can do. It sucks because you feel helpless. It sucks to watch someone you love hurt, especially when it's, like, two people that are so close together. You want to mend it. You want to fix it. And all you do is you put yourself in the story when it doesn't fit.
Right.
So you try to think, okay, well, I don't really know how bad things were, but it couldn't have been as bad as my life was. So why don't you fix it? But you don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have family issues, but just from friends and stuff, like the parental scars are so deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just knowing my friends that have been through that, I guess this really hit home. I felt terrible for Alex. In a way, I haven't genuinely felt attached to a character's family storyline in a long time.
Well, just explain so much about why he is the way that he is. He's been through a lot, and he's had that tough exterior because he doesn't want to get close to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be over it. I mean, Daddy can't even remember what I look like, and he saw me at 15. Like, I've already matured. Like, my face is already matured.
Like, that different.
Like, that is ridiculous that he didn't even realize.
You don't look like a complete stranger from 15 till now. I mean, you still, like, resemble your 15-year-old self a little bit.
I resemble my 2-year-old self, okay? Like, come on. Like, everyone kind of does, you know what I mean?
I mean, I can't.
Like, it's only the ugly duckling phase that you're like, who are you? Like,
that's the part that like was a disconnect for me, because how did he just not record? Was it the drugs? Is he really?
I think it was the drugs and the fact that he may have had several families since then.
I mean, maybe
this is family four, and we just don't even know it. Yeah, that's crazy. Maybe. Oh my gosh!
But I think this was well written, because a lot of times when they bring in family members, I'm like, no, seriously, they're going to bring in a family member to die?
Yeah.
Because that's what that's they do what most they do. Of the time.
Yeah. They love
doing
that. And
I feel like
that.
this was well done. Like, we didn't see it coming. We did grow attached to the dad. We saw character depth through Alex. I like the way that they did this storyline.
Yeah.
For sure.
Agreed.
But so Alex and Joe had a little moment with the chief. She had to buck it up and figure out what was wrong with the chief.
Have you played tennis lately?
I know. That was hilarious. Do you carry your groceries on this one shoulder? He was having like chronic shoulder pain and didn't know why.
Yeah.
But he's been in the hospital for 2 weeks.
I know, right? Have you had any really aggressive... I'm just going to stop there.
Yeah.
But so she figured it out, celebrated right in front of the chief.
Yeah. She's like, I got it. You have pancreatic fluid. Or a pseudocyst.
Mm-hmm. What's a pseudocyst?
A sort of cyst on its pancreatic.
Okay.
Area.
Built up of fluid, right?
Yeah. Something built up like of that. Fluid.
You know who else wasn't in this episode? Bailey.
Bailey was in it. She was kind of poking jokes a little bit at Meredith for picking like a random story.
The very beginning.
Okay.
She was.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I guess we just didn't see Bailey and the chief together, and they've been together so much.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it was weird that she definitely championed the fact that she figured it out. We're going back to Joe and Weber. But, you know, to be a teacher and to lay on the top, to be the patient at the same time is really difficult. But he was actually excited that he figured it out, too. You know?
I think he's getting a kick out of it.
Yeah. And Weber's going to be on his feet in no time. They can't stretch out the story much longer. right?
Yeah. I know it would get to, it's going to start getting annoying.
Yeah. It's like, get out of the bed. Let's start walking around. Let's figure it out. You know what I mean?
Let's get back on the feed. Let's get you back with Mama Avery because that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like that storyline is coming to an end soon.
No, but something that we haven't seen in a while, I don't know if it was necessarily the conversation with Christina or not, but Meredith has her ambition back.
Well, of course it is from Christina last week, chewing her out a new one, saying that you don't got your stuff together because you chose a family and I didn't.
You slowed down. You got soft.
Exactly. And so Christina got shut out by Meredith. And
Christina pretty much got shut out by everybody in this episode. And, you know, we had somebody just, you know, Kevin just tweeted us, like, can we talk about Christina? Because it seems like her character is being kind of separated from everyone else. And, you know, there was a lot of kind of, you know, I feel invisible. The paper towel machine won't even recognize that I'm human.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, it seems that, you know, Owen's new girlfriend doesn't even know, like, the relationship between the two.
That was weird. That was like, crazy. I'm Christina Chucky. Yeah, I know who you are.
She's like, I'm the ex-wife. Oh.
Well, I think she thought it was the ex-girlfriend. She's not playing. She was playing a little dumb. She knew that Christina was the ex-girlfriend, right?
I don't think she knew she was his wife.
The wife part is what kind of got her.
So I like Little Miss Dr. Emma, what's her last
Emma
name?
Emma Ware or something.
Who, by the way, is Julie the Cat Gaffney from Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
Emma Marley.
Still hot. Still 20, 30 years later.
Yeah, she looks good.
Rocking that.
Wait, 30 years later. Calm down. Mighty Ducks was not that long ago.
You're right. I've lost it. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
15 years. Whatever it is, was a hot little teenager. She's hot now.
Yeah, she's working it.
And you know what? For the first time ever, I like who Owen's dating.
They're cute.
I have never, like, I
didn't. Well, because she's nice.
Yeah,
but it seems like she may not be completely honest.
Yes,
with
that's
him.
What I was gonna say. So he comes there and he's like, "Are we telling people this? Because I've told people." And she's like, "Oh, yeah, you could tell people.
Like, yeah, you should. Yep, that you were. It wasn't we or I or anything like that." So
we all sort of looked at each other like, "She's not divorced, or
something's going on there. She's not telling people. I don't know.
Maybe she's like." In another relationship, I have no idea.
Or maybe she's not like Leah and, like, not super attached right away, because why would you be attached after 2 weeks? You know what I mean? So I feel like maybe it's like, oh, I got a little fat serious too soon, especially because I don't know anything about your past. Like, you even had an ex-wife, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the storyline. I can't wait to see what the storyline is, because she's a doctor from another hospital, but why is she there?
She wanted to observe.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
She wanted to learn. Arizona was doing a surgery that she wanted to learn. So I'm guessing this is like a peds doctor or something similar to that. What surgery was Arizona doing?
Sure.
I can't remember.
Yeah, we're not going into details. Yeah. We're here for the plot.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, juicy plot. She's oppressed by Christina, as we all are.
Yes.
And Christina's like, oh well, let's get the elephant out of the room.
Yeah.
The girl's like, apparently there is one. Yeah. No.
Didn't know there was one. Okay.
Yeah, you were all feeling all awkward about it.
But apparently it wasn't a big deal, because at the end of the episode, you know, they're happy together and everything seems fine with Owen and, you know, her and Christina sees.
Yeah, and Yang is still invisible. But then she puts the, like, okay, if I'm invisible by them, like, let me go talk to Meredith. Like, Meredith will not think I'm invisible, right? So she goes in there to talk to Meredith. She has a whole conversation. Meredith looks up and goes, what? What are you talking about? Like, completely missed it.
Christina was trying to act like nothing was wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nope. Like everything was going to go
back. Well, she's not going to apologize.
No.
Yang is not going to apologize. And I think that's what Meredith is waiting for. And hopefully she'll get it, but she'll never get it. So we'll
see. But I was so happy to see Meredith stand up for herself finally and kind of come back at her and say, I don't need you messing with my head right now.
Exactly.
I don't need you to tell me I can't do this because I'm a mom.
Like, just, I've been like, there. She said, alone. I've Bam. Been there for you this entire time, and this is when you were supposed to be there for me.
Well, the point is that because people don't make the decisions you made, Yang, like, doesn't mean that they're wrong. And I, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, like, crazy.
Well, I like the way that she said it. You don't have time for people that make decisions you don't agree with.
There it is. There it is. That's
or
what I was
that,
trying
that
to say.
Want things you don't want.
Exactly.
Love that she said that, because that could be, well, true. It seems
it's totally
like it,
true.
That's what she does. Oh, you want to have kids? Psh. Yeah. I can't see, like, you can't do, we're not on the same wavelength, so everything you do, I'm going to think is wrong. And, you know, that's not fair.
It's even being like the godmother or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like,
and she said no.
She's like, no. I mean, that's her character. Mm-hmm. And I think this is, of course, the way she's going to leave the show is that she's feeling invisible and she wants to, like,
she's going to robot off.
This makes me think that maybe she won't die off, that maybe she'll just go to another hospital where she can fit in and then we'll just be done with her storyline. But we'll see how it turns out.
Well, and it just kind of brings back to when she was traumatized from the shooting and like all that stuff, and she didn't want to be a doctor anymore, and she wanted to be a bartender, and she took off all that. And, you know, Meredith was for her, trying to kind of, you know, be there and help her get through it and over it. And when she came back, you're crazy. You were a bartender yesterday, so you absolutely can't do anything here at the hospital. What are you thinking? You know, she welcomed her back in and didn't, you know, hold anything against her for, you know, what was going on in her head at that time.
It also brings up a good point that Derek has been incredibly supportive of Christina, mm-hmm. both her as a friend to Meredith and as a doctor. Like, he took her fishing when she had that big breakthrough.
Yeah.
That one time. And so, like, her dissing on Meredith is her dissing on their choice to do that together.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm glad it gave Meredith a kick in the seat, though, because I like the fact that she's picking up the research where she left off. She's trying, like, I didn't hear the other people her age trying to do a different project.
Well, I like that she decided to go with the research that her mom was doing and that, not to follow in the coattails, but to make it better.
It was funny because she's like, someone has started this. Yeah. Who was it that has started this research? And Chief's like, oh, it's your mom.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean?
And exactly. So she's all of a sudden like, not that anymore. But then through some printer problems, she's going to make a 3D print of
his vein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Portal vein.
Sometimes they say things and they're like, that's awesome. And I'm like, this doesn't sound that cool.
Well, what are they going to portalize a vein?
Portal. I have no idea. I mean,
yeah, they're going to create they're going to create a vein. Like they're going to, you know, because like you've heard of like these 3D printers where you can like make jewelry, you can make all kinds of things that they print it out and actually print out into this thing. Like that's the whole technology of this 3D printing.
Oh my gosh! So I think Julie and I are like a generation behind.
She's going to like put this in and essentially like recreate like this a 3D like replica
fancy.
Of this like vein.
Fancy Meredith.
Oh, so they're
going
to. They're going to create like a physical rendering of this this mystery vein that nobody's mapped out yet.
That's the whole cool thing about 3D printing and the danger
now it's cool.
Is that you put the materials in and you actually get out an actual object.
Fun little fact for you guys. 3D printing they're developing right now for within the next 50 years to be able to actually 3D print with living tissue a working organ to implant into you.
So this is revolutionary.
On the cutting edge.
I'm not lying. I just got goosebumps.
Cutting
edge. You're
feeling
it. You're right. Now you're liking it.
So that's hilarious. I was literally picturing like, here's the vein on this piece of paper.
And like pop with 3D glasses popping out.
I didn't know. I didn't know why it was impressive.
No, but that 3D printing is this whole new thing that they're trying to revolutionize and stuff. And, you know, that'd be amazing if they could do organs. That sounds fantastic. But there's all these different things that you can do with 3D printing now. And she's going to, you know, make a vein.
And you know what? It goes to show what you were saying last week. Meredith may not go about things procedurally like the other people, but she's a brilliant medical mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she just gets it in a way that is incredibly organic.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm excited to see where this goes. And something crazy that happened at the end. So Derek was like at a turning point between like, I want to see my kids. I never get to see my kids. They were both having this struggle the past several episodes since Bailey's been born.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
And he's new. I mean, of course they want to be there with him.
Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting that she's still breastfeeding. Hopefully she'll probably go off the breastfeeding at this point. If she's going to be diving into more surgeries, more time, more research, you know what I mean? So it's that storyline is a little interesting to say. Because during the day-to-day, she probably should have been dropping down to that daycare to breastfeed. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I find a hole and I want to let everyone know
she's pumping.
She's pumping.
She's pumping.
Okay, well, there you go.
That's what she's doing. She's
pumping.
Fine.
I'll tell you what. I mean, I don't know yet, but that takes up a lot of time.
Yeah.
There are chicks that do it on set and stuff. They're in there for hours.
They're in there for hours.
Well, see, remember, Bailey told her the trick. It's faster if you do them both at the same time.
One time I walked in a bathroom, a woman was at the same time, both of them. She's like having a conversation. I'm like,
I can't do
That's commitment, sister.
I can't do it. Oh, my gosh.
For me to act like you just have a normal shirt on while we're talking.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see that Derek's going to be taking a step back and being a stay-at-home daddy. Mm-hmm.
Well, he wants to, I think he wants to devote more time to his kids, mm-hmm. but also look into research projects.
Yeah.
Like less surgeries, mm-hmm. more research, family time.
I like that he's stepping up and doing that and not feeling that he has to kind of be the, you know, the
be
one
all
to
sale.
Do it. Yeah.
And he already had his career. He became the chief. He got shot. You know, like... It's time to just, like, take a break and just pump the brakes a little bit, you know?
And research is like, fine. It doesn't seem fair. And I think she was saying, it doesn't seem fair for me to get to do medicine and you not. And he's like, of course it's not fair. I get to be with the kids.
Yeah.
Well, I like that really he said sweet. That the kids are not the consolation prize. They are the prize.
Exactly.
That was, like, such a great thing to say.
Yeah.
And then she says, you know, well, you get to have more fun than
you're going to have more fun.
And he's like, yes, I will.
And from last week, I did not see this foreshadowing. I didn't see this happening. And yeah, I think
he's growing up. He's getting old. He's growing up.
But, like, Meredith's freaking out.
Like, you know, he's growing into the dad, the husband that he, like, wanted to be.
Exactly.
She's, like, screaming at him, you know? Yeah. And he's like, this isn't my fault. I didn't see it taking this turn. But I just think it's, like, beautiful and modern.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that he's making this gesture.
Yeah, well, it's she's still in her few years of, like, making a name for herself. So it's time for her to do her thing. So that's
and
really great.
And it's great that he's going to be supportive and let her do that.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what you guys think at home because, like, what do you dudes think? What do you dads think? What do you moms think? Because I feel, like, so on board with this, and you guys seem that way, too.
Well, yeah, we live in 2013. We can all take breaks, and especially the fact that he has already done his time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's older. He's made his name in the business, and it's Meredith's turn, and that's fine. And it's only a year. He said a year. Like, he didn't say forever. He said a
that's
year.
That's true.
So, a lot can happen in a year. A lot of things can change, and if their research projects get funded and, you know, like, oh, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I thought it was awesome. Like, dad of the year, husband of the year, right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nick
well,
Dreamy.
Well, considering everything that's happened leading up to this, it's about time.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
true.
They've been through a lot together. People are loving the 3D printing. We got, Meredith can print a new 3D BFF.
Yes. I love that. That's from Kinsu 13. Uh-huh. Shout out to him. He's so funny. I love it. Oh, my gosh. And then let's talk about the ending where Arizona got into bed all restless, mm-hmm. and she sends... A text right after her congrats. She didn't even spell out congratulations. She just said congrats.
But she, okay, so the congrats text happened, and then Arizona face to face laid it out for Leah. This isn't happening. That was like a short-sighted mistake for me. And Leah heard that.
But then Leah explains why, and then Arizona feels bad.
So exactly. What is Arizona doing?
Hence the text 2 days later, what are you up to in the middle
She's
of the night?
She's gotten to bed. She's lonely, and there's someone there that's into you.
It's like such a recipe for trouble when you're by yourself in bed. You're like, not tired yet.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, exactly. Who
but
can
you know,
I sex?
I kind of like this storyline, and I know people are hating it. They don't want it to happen. But this is why I like it. Not necessarily because, I mean, I hate to see that she's continuing on and not really, like, working on fixing things with Callie and, like, getting into that. But
that's not
guys
coming back.
Do this crap all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of nice to see it from the other side. You know what I mean? Like, it happens in relationships. Doesn't matter what kind of a relationship that you're in. If one person is way into the other one more than the other, and you get a little bit lonely, people take advantage of it. And that's basically what this is showing.
She's lonely. She's going to string her along.
Yep.
Yep.
At least for a minute.
Still, I'm very frustrated, Arizona. Although I thought, to me, this episode, more than any, sort of symbolized this might be the end of Callie and Arizona as a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Callie has come to deal with the fact that she's going to have to face things that remind her of Arizona at work on a daily basis. She returns to her projects that remind her. And Arizona, knowing full well the repercussions that this would have for her ex-wife, is still following up with this little intern.
Yeah.
I don't think they're done. I think it'll just be like a break for a second.
I don't know. Done than I expected, I guess I could say.
Yeah. Well, it's more that Arizona's done trying to work on it.
And Callie's calling the shots. Callie has the upper hand when it comes to this relationship. Like, she stopped it. She's over it. She's not going back. You know what I mean?
Callie waited around so long for that leg drama. Mm-hmm. Arizona has not lasted that long trying to win Cali back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, she's over it. Like, she's already, she feels like she's apologized. She's said her piece. She's cried once or twice or whatever, and she's done it, and, like, she's done.
Yeah.
So she's just going to accept the punishment is the way that I feel. Like, that's where she's headed right now. So it just begs the question, how much does she want to, her family back? Is she going to fight for it? Because I would think she was the one in the wrong. So if you really want to make it better, then don't you fight tooth and nail to make that happen?
But I feel like she's yeah. about to be in the wrong again.
She's on a downward spiral.
Yeah. Falling further and further down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'll because tell you once, what. Once Callie finds out, shit's going to hit the fan.
Calzona fans are not going to like this.
Yeah.
First of all, it's like the most hated intern.
I am.
And it's Arizona.
But she's been looking good with that makeup and the curls. She's working it.
Look good.
She has looked better. Yeah. It's sort of like Sarah Drew whenever she came into her
own. She didn't even get that dress up for Alex.
Mm-mm. No, she did. That's so funny. Oh, my gosh. Mm. I think we covered everybody.
Yeah. Good episode. I was satisfied. It's not hard to wet my Grey's palette.
Yeah.
Like, honestly. Honestly, to me, it's just like almost guilty pleasure / comfort food, this mm-hmm. show. Like, I can't go a week without it. But at the same time, like, just a little grace will get it there for me. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be, like, super drama-y or a death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's move on to AfterBuzz News and Gossip.
Woo!
Oh, the soundboard crapped out.
Ooh. Oh. Well, AfterBuzz News.
Let's do predictions.
Well, I did have a tiny bit of news that the woman that plays Christina Yang, Sandra Oh, found out that she wanted to leave Grace through therapy. Mm. She's just sort of processing it, figuring it out that way. Yeah, so a little bit of soul searching led her to that.
Interesting.
All right, how about the soundboard now for predictions?
Ah, there we go.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So we learned from last week, never, ever, ever trust anything that you see in the previews.
Exactly.
Because seriously, Joe didn't even have a pregnancy scare of any kind.
Yeah, that never even really happened.
Yeah. And so they gave us nothing next week except Halloween episodes. There might be zombies.
I am ready for the zombie apocalypse. I hope you guys are ready for the zombie apocalypse. Are you guys? You should be.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I love zombies. I think this person just like... gonna be acting crazy. Like, I don't know. It's gonna be really cool.
My sister
has
me covered. She's totally 100% ready for the zombie apocalypse. Totally.
You gotta... I have an apocalypse plan, but I don't think the zombies are impossible.
I live on the corner of a surplus store. I'm already ready to raid that. Okay? I'm ready to go.
I more think it's possible that the entire electrical system in the entire world will shut down.
Or the big earthquake in California. That will
Something
happen.
Something like that. Either way, that's all we got for next week. Do you guys have any additional predictions?
No, I just think that like the storyline's going to continue on and it's going to get a little creepy and scary. I don't think anything like revealing next week might happen at all.
I think it's going to be more fun.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a fun episode to fill it out.
I'm glad they don't have a reputation like ER that a major character dies in a bloody way every time.
Oh my gosh.
I do think if we're just throwing out a little bit of predictions on the relationships that the Alex Joe riff is just like going to be big about this father thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she brought up his biggest issue and she made it worse, unfortunately.
Yeah, if anything was going to do it before they really got to, like, really into a real relationship, this was it.
Yeah, I think that this girl for Owen, I like them together. I see it going places, but I do think she has a secret.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's not as publicly into it as he is. We know that for sure. So that could mean a lot of different things.
Yeah, a divorce or another boo thing on the side. There's so many options.
So many or it could be things. Hospital rivalry stuff. Ooh. Like, we don't know.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, maybe it's a coup.
Maybe. Oh, my gosh.
Well, we have been so stoked to see you guys this week. We will see you right here next week. I'm Julie Parton. You can find me at Twitter at JULIEPARTIN.
And I'm your girl, Star Session. You can find me on Twitter at StarrSession and at Say What Web Show.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE079.
That's right.
Have a fantastic week.
See you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.